In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. When God created Eve, he created her out of the side of Adam. As you just heard, the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. He slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the place with flesh. And out of the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man, he made a woman. And he brought her to the man, and Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man." Adam rejoiced in his spirit. He was full of love toward his new bride. The sound of his voice must have been more beautiful than anything ever heard out of the mouth of any fallen man. Surely he was singing. Nothing man has produced could match the beauty of the sound of Adam's voice in love, pure, holy love for his new bride. We know this because, unlike other creatures, Adam was made in the image of God. In the image of God, he made him. Therefore, Adam was himself a reflection of his Creator. He was good and beautiful and wonderful. So Adam, in his pristine state, saw his wife in her pristine state, for she was made out of his side. She, too, was a reflection of him and of the image of God. And so Adam's heart was filled with holy love for her. These are the first recorded words that any man ever spoke. To be sure, Adam had spoken before, for he named the animals. But here, for the first time, we know exactly what he said. We know what he said when his heart became overflowing with love and joy towards his bride. Charles and Allison, you know something of what he experienced today. There is a little bit of it in you as you look at each other. As you, Charles, saw your bride coming down the aisle, you experienced some of what Adam felt when God brought the woman to him, that holy, almost inexpressible joy and love, reflecting the love of God himself toward his bride. But you only experienced a little bit of it, a little reflection, not quite the whole thing. Because as you know, soon afterwards, Adam and his wife fell into sin. They took the forbidden fruit, and they ruined everything. And ever since then, the image of God in man has been twisted and marred, mangled and perverted. As you know, that's the reason why we have so much trouble in this world. Ever since that day, there has been no end to strife, trouble, and bloodshed. Horror, war, evils, wickedness, and tears also have no end. Such is the state of our world because of Adam's sin. We can't quite experience what he experienced anymore. The image has been so darkened in our hearts. However, we can still love. That capacity is still there. Though it is dark, it is not altogether gone. It's still there. Man knows how to love because God is love. The beasts of the field don't know how to love. Only mankind knows how to love. It is a dim reflection of the love of God, but it is still there. Yet, even though the image was twisted and marred and broken down, it's only dimly reflected in us. Still, there's more to God's image than just this. When God created the woman from the side of man, it was a historical event. This is how it was in the beginning. It was actual history, are the mysterious ways of God. When he does something, and when he records what he has done, in this case through the pen of Moses, he is also painting a picture of something greater, so that we might know that the image of God is far from lost. In fact, it was perfected in the second Adam, our Lord Jesus Christ, who is no creature. Christ was not made in the image of God. He is the image of God. He joined himself to our race, to our flesh, in the womb of the Blessed Virgin. And in an even greater sense than Adam, he showed love. Love in his own image, even for fallen man who deserves none of it. So it is that Christ chose to perform his first public miracle at a wedding, of all places. For the miracle of turning water into wine was certainly a historical event, and yet it's more than that. For Christ is approached by his mother with the concern, they have no wine. And what is Christ's response? My hour has not yet come. Our Lord cannot be speaking here of the hour of his first miracle, for that indeed has come. No, my hour has not yet come means the hour of my death has not yet come. This is a strange response indeed to a simple request for more wine. What does Christ's death on the cross have to do with providing more wine for a wedding? Well, on the surface, nothing. But in reality, everything. For Christ performs this, his first and chief sign, at a wedding. For he is the true bridegroom, for whom all earthly bridegrooms are but a metaphor and symbol. Christ has come to earth to right the wrongs of sin. He has come to restore humanity's lack by becoming the church's bridegroom. What is the bridegroom given to do? St. Paul is clear in Ephesians chapter 5. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Christ gave himself up for us. He laid down his life upon the cross for his bride. We did not deserve it. And yet, he loved us, in that he fully expressed the image of God of all places and of all times on Good Friday. Because there, on Calvary's tree, we saw unequivocally, most completely, love. The love of the second Adam toward his bride, the Holy Church. There is no mistaking the extent to which he wanted to go, to redeem her, to pay what she owed, to suffer the sacrifice that was necessary to bring her back to Eden, back to himself, back to his Father. He went to the ultimate extreme, all in love and dedication to his bride. And since he did this, the church, the bride, was created out of his Son. For this mystery is profound. Marriage is a reflection of this holy, eternal truth, that the second Adam was put into a deeper sleep than the first. While he slept the sleep of death, the sleep by which he redeemed the world, the spear went into his side. And out of his side there came the elements by which she was created. Not bone, not a rib, blood and water. The holy sacramental gifts by which the church, his bride, was brought to him. So we see in him and in what he has done the exulting voice of Adam, "This at last is bone of my bones, and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man." Yet, I speak of Christ and the church. So remember this in your marriage, which will be imperfect. It will be temporary, though you keep your vows. The truth is, you are going to die. Your marriage will come to an end. Your vow says, "As long as we both shall live, until death parts you." This is because every earthly marriage is but a dim reflection of the heavenly. So, Charles, see in Allison the bride and church. Allison, see in Charles Christ your Lord. This is the mystery of which St. Paul speaks, of which Jesus speaks, and of which Moses wrote. Thanks be to God that though your marriage is beautiful, the greater truth is that the heavenly marriage is better. It's perfect. The heavenly marriage shall never come to an end, for Christ is risen from the dead and the first fruits of them that sleep. He is the head of his body, the church. This is the marvelous thing about the Christian faith. It has no end. Charles, your dedication to your bride is a dim reflection of the eternal dedication of Christ for his church. Your dedication and love and obedience to your husband is a dim reflection of the eternal dedication of the church for her Christ. That will never end. For he who believes in Christ shall never die. This day we celebrate your marriage, but more than that, infinitely more than that, we celebrate the heavenly marriage of Christ, the heavenly bridegroom, and his bride, the church. Husbands, and especially you, Charles, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So men also ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loves his wife loves himself. And wives, especially you, Allison, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds.